Let's read together Numbers chapter 19. In this chapter, we have the details of the red heifer sacrifice. Numbers chapter 19, beginning at verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord has commanded, saying, Speak to the children of Israel that they bring you a red heifer without blemish, in which there is no defect, and on which a yoke has never come. You shall give it to Eleazar the priest, that he may take it outside the camp, and it shall be slaughtered before him. And Eleazar the priest shall take some of its blood with his finger and sprinkle some of its blood 7 times directly in front of the tabernacle of meeting. Then the heifer shall be burned in his sight. Its hide, its flesh, its blood, and its offal shall be burned. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast them into the midst of the fire, burning the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes, he shall bathe in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp. The priest shall be unclean until evening. And the one who burns it shall wash his clothes in water, bathe in water, and shall be unclean until evening. Then a man who is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and store them outside the camp in a clean place. And they shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for the water of purification. It is for purifying from sin. And the one who gathers the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. It shall be a statute forever to the children of Israel and to the stranger who dwells among them. He who touches the dead body of anyone shall be unclean 7 days. He shall purify himself with the water on the 3rd day and on the 7th day. Then he will be clean. But if he does not purify himself on the 3rd day and on the 7th day, he will not be clean. Whoever touches the body of anyone who has died and does not purify himself defiles the tabernacle of the Lord. That person shall be cut off from Israel. He shall be unclean, because the water of purification was not sprinkled on him. His uncleanness is still on him. This is the law when a man dies in a tent. All who come into the tent and all who are in the tent shall be unclean 7 days. And every open vessel which has no cover fastened on it is unclean. Whoever in the open field touches one who is slain by a sword, or who has died, or a bone of a man, or a grave, shall be unclean 7 days. And for an unclean person they shall take some of the ashes of the heifer burnt for purification from sin, and running water shall be put on them in a vessel. A clean person shall take hyssop and dip it in the water, sprinkle it on the tent, on all the vessels, on the persons who were there, or on the one who touched the bone, the slain, the dead, or a grave. The clean person shall sprinkle the unclean on the 3rd day and on the 7th day. And on the 7th day he shall purify himself, wash his clothes, and bathe in water, and at evening he shall be clean. But the man who is unclean and does not purify himself, that person shall be cut off from among the assembly, because he has defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. The water of purification has not been sprinkled on him, he is unclean. It shall be a perpetual statute for them. He who sprinkles the water of purification shall wash his clothes, and he who touches the water of purification shall be unclean until evening. Whatever the unclean person touches shall be unclean, and the person who touches it shall be unclean until evening." As we begin our study of this chapter, let's consider a few background notes. Maybe the first background note we give for this chapter should be the definition of a red heifer. A heifer is a young female cow, not as young as a calf, but still young. A red heifer is a heifer with reddish-brown hair, rare, but they do exist. A second background note has to do with tradition. There is one Hebrew tradition that says the ashes of the first red heifer sacrifice were used until the Babylonian captivity. That is, they lasted almost 1,000 years. A third background note has to do with speculation concerning the future. There is Christian literature available today which says that the sacrificial system associated with the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem cannot begin again until the lost ashes of the red heifer are found along with the lost Ark of the Covenant. Now, this speculation may be based on one school of thought within Judaism today, but there is absolutely nothing in the Bible that says the lost ashes of the red heifer or the lost Ark of the Covenant must be found before the sacrificial system can begin again in Israel. Now, the Bible is very clear about the fact that there will be a rebuilt temple in Jerusalem in the future. But the idea of finding the Ark of the Covenant or lost ashes of the red heifer is pure speculation. It may happen, but it's not prophesied in the Bible. What about the stories of red heifers being raised in northern Israel today for the Third Temple period? Well, these stories may be true, but I have not talked to anyone who has seen any unblemished red heifer firsthand. The Temple Institute in Jerusalem is preparing furnishings for the Third Temple, and I have seen some of these, but no red heifer. However, I don't doubt that when the time comes, Judaism will come up with an unblemished red heifer. And more we could give for background. But let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for Numbers 19. Doctrinal or teaching point number one. The red heifer sacrifice purified the unclean people in Israel. The red heifer sacrifice purified the unclean people in Israel. We don't read of the red heifer sacrifice in the book of Leviticus, where we read about all the different sacrifices. However, here in verses 9 and 17 of Numbers chapter 19, the phrase purification from sin is literally sin offering in the Hebrew language. So the red heifer sacrifice was a type of sin offering, even though typical sacrificial language is not used here, and there was no altar involved in this sacrifice. This sacrifice and the ritual associated with it provided cleansing for anyone who was defiled and ceremonially unclean because of contact with a dead body or anything unclean. Remember, a lot of people were dying in the wilderness at this time. In the red heifer sacrifice, the heifer was killed and burned outside the camp. The ashes of the red heifer were then kept in a container in a clean place outside the camp. When anyone or anything in the camp was unclean, some of the ashes were put in a vessel and mixed with running water, and this water was then sprinkled on the unclean person or object. All the details of this ritual are highly symbolic and typical, as we'll see. But notice how God built sanitary measures into these regulations. Remember, the people of that day would not be aware of germs and the importance of washing and the concept of quarantine, etc., etc. But notice how all of these important areas are covered in these regulations, and thus God's people were protected from contagious diseases. Even the matter of uncovered vessels, verse 15, and the importance of being quarantined for 7 days, verses 11 and 19, and letting unclean washed clothes dry before wearing them again, verses 19 and 21. These are all included in these protective regulations. And this was important. A person who refused to obey God in these regulations was cut off from Israel, verses 13 and 20. That is, put to death or banished. Now, I think you can already see the overall spiritual lesson in this chapter. God is holy, and what is unclean and defiled must be judged. But God in His grace has provided a way of purification. The red heifer sacrifice purified the unclean people in Israel. Doctrinal point number two. The red heifer sacrifice pictures the cleansing work of Christ. The red heifer sacrifice pictures the cleansing work of Christ. It doesn't take much biblical insight to realize that the red heifer sacrifice pictures Christ as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. We see in verse 1, that the red heifer had to be unblemished, with no defect, and on which a yoke had never been placed. As the perfect sacrifice, our Lord was sinless and pure. No yoke of discipline or restraint ever had to be placed on this perfect person. He always did the will of God. As the red heifer was killed outside the camp, verse 3, so our Lord was crucified outside Jerusalem and outside the camp of Judaism. Hebrews 13, 11 and 12. The fact that the blood of the slain heifer was sprinkled toward the tabernacle 7 times, verse 4, certainly emphasizes the perfect and complete and finished work of Christ on the cross. Now, the exact spiritual meaning of the cedar wood, the hyssop, and the scarlet material which were added to the burning sacrifice is hard to determine. The spiritual or typical meaning of the red heifer sacrifice is summed up in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 13 and 14. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Hebrews 9, 13 and 14. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, we read, But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And verse 9, If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1, 7 and 9. This constant cleansing that we as believers need from the defiling effects of sin in our lives is pictured in the sprinkling of the water containing the ashes of the red heifer sacrifice. The running water of verse 17, mixed with the ashes, represents the Holy Spirit applying the work of Christ to our souls through the Word of God. This takes place as we read and hear Scripture. That's the idea in Ephesians 5:26, where we read that Christ sanctifies his church, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word. Ephesians 5:26. This is so important for close fellowship with the Lord. Our sins are eternally forgiven when we become Christians, but we need constant cleansing from the defiling effects of sin. Even watching the news on TV can be defiling. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1 we read, Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 7:1. The red heifer sacrifice pictures the cleansing work of Christ. What about practical application from Numbers chapter 19? Be extremely careful when you sprinkle the ashes. Be extremely careful when you sprinkle the ashes. We see here in verse 19 that any clean person, not just the priests, but any clean person could sprinkle the ashes of the red heifer sacrifice on an unclean person. In fact, it was the responsibility of clean persons to do so. The ashes were readily available at all times. But we also see in verse 21 that the clean persons, in administering the sacred water to the unclean persons, became unclean themselves until the evening. Now, do you see the spiritual lesson and application here? You cannot touch sin without being affected. Even though we have a responsibility and duty to help our brothers and sisters deal with the defiling effects of sin in their lives by applying the cleansing water of the Word, we must be extremely careful. Galatians 6:1 says, Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Illustration. I know of a Christian who got involved in the sin of pornography when he was trying to help another Christian who had fallen in this area. No one is immune from the defiling effects of contact with sin. Be extremely careful when you sprinkle the ashes.